Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fourth and the final hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Wake up. Well, me. Welcome back. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you rolling through 60 more hours of the most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere on weekdays from 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock in the morning. Here's a fun thing. Texter said, Rob, talk about how bad the Bucs defense is. If you are giving Commanders quarterback the ring, talk about both sides. Okay, let's do that. Defensive yards per game and touchdowns allowed. Lonzo, in terms of yards allowed per game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers allowed 341.8 yards per game. That is 18th in the National Football League in yards allowed per game. I trust this stat more in the NFL than I trust it in college football, because obviously college football, you have various strengths of schedule. In the NFL, even if you have one of the easiest schedules, it's still an NFL schedule. It's not going to be that far off from the team that has the most difficult schedule in the National Football League. Ordinarily, that's determined by what division you're in. The Buccaneers, Lonzo, gave up 341.8 yards per game in the National Football League. Let's play a fun little game called Higher or Lower. Did the Lions give up more or less yardage per game than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensively over the course of the 2024 season?
Well, according to some of the scores that you read earlier, I would have to say they gave up more.
You would be correct, sir. Now, not much. The Buccaneers gave up 341.8 yards per game. The Detroit Lions gave up 342.4. So only like a half yard more.
Who played the lesser schedule, though? You'd have to say Tampa Bay.
I would say Tampa Bay.
Because of so the
NFC South versus the North.
So they gave up that amount of yards against worse teams, though.
Yes. The point here I'm making is, let's not pretend like the Detroit Lions defense is made up of T2000s. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense is made up of not that. The Bucs defense was middle of the pack. And yet, on a yards per game basis, statistically better than the Lions defense. I will grant you that the Lions did indeed have the tougher SOS. But the SOS in the NFL, it ain't like it's gigantic gaps between, right? So the point here is, I'd be willing to say, statistically speaking, by the way, just in case you were curious about this, the Buccaneers surrendered 41 touchdowns on the season. The Lions gave up 37. Four touchdowns worth of difference over 17 games. 0.5 yard difference, with the Lions to the worst side of that stat over 17 games. I get where you are going here, Texter. I understand it. But what I'm not going to do is sit here and allow you to pretend. Just so we're clear, you know what the best defense in the NFL was this year in terms of yards averaged per game? The Eagles. The only team in the NFL who gave up fewer than 300 yards per game. And by a pretty good number, too. The Eagles defense gave up 278.4 yards per game. They allowed just 33 touchdowns. To put that in comparison, the second best defense in terms of average yards per game, this is going to be shocking, Zoe. The next three teams in the defensive yards allowed category, the next three teams were all non-playoff teams. The Titans, the Jets, and the Dolphins were the next three defensive rated teams in terms of yards allowed.
And do any of those three teams have offenses?
No. No. You got the Packers fifth playoff team, the Texans sixth playoff team, the Broncos seventh playoff team, the 49ers eighth, not a playoff team, but are we all willing to chalk up the 49ers missed the playoffs this year, not because they're bad, but because of the injury bug that just kicked their asses on the offensive side of the ball, right? And unlike the Lions, who are a well-balanced team, San Francisco put all their bullets onto the offensive side of the football. Well, Debo had a breakdown, Ayuk went down, McCaffrey went down, Purdy missed a couple of games. Like, they got banged up bad. I think George Kittle was the only guy who didn't miss a game this year, right? I don't even remember if he did or not, but not enough to recall. 49ers, non-playoff team. Ninth best defense in yards per game allowed. The Chiefs, playoff team. The Ravens at 10, playoff team. The Chargers at 11, playoff team. The Steelers at 12, playoff team. The Commanders at 13th, playoff team. The Seahawks at 14 missed the playoffs by a game. Then it goes Raiders, Vikings playoff team, Bills playoff team, Bucks playoff team. Browns, Lions, Cardinals, Patriots, Falcons, Giants all stack up. The point here is, yes, the Buccaneers defense is an exceptional. It's the 18th ranked team, but they are the second to last playoff team on the list, or playoff team that's played so far, with the Lions being at number 20. The only team with a worse in-season yards per game average is the LA Rams, but I want you to go look at the Rams' schedule. They sucked in the first half, and in the second half, they figured it out. In their final four games, three of those games, they gave up 9 points or less. That ain't bad, champ. And remember, that's the total that the Lions held Sam Darnold to in the season finale that made everybody think, oh, the Lions are a cannonball and everybody's going to get wrecked. Not so fast, my friend. If holding an NFL team to 9 points is your definition, the Rams did it three out of their final four games. The only game they didn't was the last week of the season when they were playing a team that was trying to get in. So, no shock there. All I'm saying here, Texter, is I get it. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I'm a Dan Campbell fan. It is weird to me. I am always a team that pulls for the lovable losers, and Detroit certainly in that gang. What I'm not going to get here is we're making stuff up for the sake of argument for the Lions. The Lions are favored in this game. The Lions are probably going to win this game. All I said was, you better be on your game because the Commanders ain't no joke, my dude, like at all. When I look at the ratings, three of the top four teams didn't make the playoffs. Three of the top four teams had offenses that were towards the bottom of the NFL offensive yards per game category. The Titans, Jets, and Dolphins. After that, every other team that you look at is either a playoff team or was a team like San Francisco, who I think reasonably, at the beginning of the year, we all had our money on winning the NFC West, didn't we?
Yeah, that's a big surprise.
Yeah, they were the most disappointing team in the NFL this year, the San Francisco 49ers. The most disappointing team in the NFL this year. And again, I don't blame it on their coach. I don't blame it on their team. I blame it on the injury bug. There are excuses and there are reasons. Part of the reason that we are, at least to me anyway, part of the reason that we are all so enamored with the Detroit Lions is because of the fact that the injury bug ran wild on them, brother. And yet, they found a way to get in. But what I don't think we can do here is pretend like the Lions got in because the Lions were a stalwart defense that Jaden Daniels can't get. My man, he got the Buccaneers. And if he got the Buccaneers, statistically speaking, he'll get the Lions too. That's why I said I would keep an eye on this as a potential upset. The Lions defense, statistically speaking, is very similar to Tampa Bay's. In fact, I would even go so far as to say, and great one, correct me if I'm stepping out of line here, I would dare so far go as to say Tampa and Detroit play a very similar style of defense. They're both aggressive across the front seven. They're both going to play you man-to-man on the edge and the outside. There is one primary difference, and I will say to his credit that Kane mentioned this by name in the mentioned this by name in his message on the Ray Memorial Hotline. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, and a guy that the more I hear of him and from him, the more I hope he won't, because why would anybody? But the more I hope that he's the next head coach of the New Orleans Saints. He's a culture guy, and he spent a year learning, or a couple of years learning under Dan Campbell. I love that guy. We're not getting Ben Johnson, so why not Aaron Glenn? That is a big thing. But I will also point out, who's the defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Todd Bowles, the head coach, is also the DC. And I want to make abundantly clear that while I am not a big Todd Bowles head coach guy, I am a big Todd Bowles defensive coordinator guy, right? Like, Tampa Bay has been in a position in a lot of games as of late to be able to send Baker out there in the fourth quarter to make some Baker magic and win them some games. Why do you think that is? Because of their defense. Because of their defense. Because of Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator. Tampa and Detroit defensively have a lot in common with each other. And Jaden Daniels just got Tampa. Now, granted, there is a massive difference between the record of the Buccaneers and the record of the Lions. Why is that? Because the Lions have Amon-Ra St. Brown and J-Mo Williams. And, oh, and by the way, David Montgomery's returned to practice. So, Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be able to get a spell here and there. And the two-back punch is on its way back. I do not know that Montgomery is going to be ready for this weekend's game, but probably next weekend if Detroit makes it to the NFC Championship game. What I'm saying here is the Commanders, I think, can get into a shootout with the Detroit Lions. The Lions are the better team. Can I be very clear? The Lions are the better team. You're what is it, 8-point favorites for a reason? All I'm saying is I got asked for potential upsets this weekend, and the Commanders over the Lions is a potential upset to me. That's one. If it's not true, if Detroit blows out Washington, I'll come in here on Monday, and Kane can call the show and tell me I'm an idiot and the Saints suck.
You're doing that thing where you're saying you'll come in on Monday, even though
I'm not coming in on Monday. If the Lions beat the Commanders, I am not coming in on Monday. If the Commanders beat the Lions, though, I'm also not coming in on Monday. We're off on Monday, is the point. It's been, Lonzo, it's been 2 weeks since we had a four-day work week.
I know.
Honestly, I can't work under these conditions.
We were due, yeah. So we're getting one. So
I can't work under these conditions.
A couple more days left, and there you go. You got your extra day.
Four-day work week.
It's not for us. But,
no,
but,
it's never going to. Somebody asked me that the other day, like, Rob, would you prefer a 4 or 5 day, like a 5 day workout with regular hours or 2 more hours, but you work 4 days a week? And I'm like, dog, it's never going to matter for me. We're doing 5 days. Because if there's a 4 day work week, half of America is going to take Mondays off, half's going to take Fridays off, and we're going to have to do radio both. In fairness, though, our job is to sit down and talk about football. So cool.
And also, you and I both work on Saturdays. So, I mean, there's...
That is true.
Yeah, there's...
That's true. By the way, I was looking because I brought it up there just a second ago. 670, the score out of Detroit, Michigan, is reporting that David Montgomery will be ready to play in the divisional round game. I'll tell you this. I'm a little less excited about looking like a genius on Tuesday than I was 5 minutes ago with Montgomery coming back, because that two-headed running back monster is a scary, scary thought. I didn't say it's going to happen. I said I think it is one of the most likely potential upsets in round number two. Just my thought. All right, when we come back here in just a minute, there is a hero in the National Football League I think we need to talk about.
Nicholas and Mariah Carey.
I am not. When a hero comes along and his name is Big Dom. That's good. That was good, because that's who we're going to talk about next.
Dirty Dominic Mysterio?
No, Big Dom. The OG Dom. I'll tell you who that is if you don't already know. When we come back, Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lonzo's got damn Mariah Carey in my head. Not even like, a good one. There's some good Mariah Carey bangers out there.
That's a good song?
Yeah.
Oh, it's too positive for you?
No, it's just, I'll tell you what it is. When I was in elementary school, our principal, Phil Brogdon, whose name I probably haven't said since I was in elementary school and have no idea why I remember it.
You remember your principal's name?
Phil Brogdon. Great guy, Mr. Brogdon. Terrifying. He was one of those guys that, like, you know who he was? He was like Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World. Like, good advice, always knew the right thing to say. But, like, when he gave you that Phil Brogdon look, you were like, oh, I'm going to die today. I get it. I understand now.
I remember our assistant principal in middle school. There was a bat in the corner by my locker, an actual bat,
a flying mammal.
He walks in with a broom, takes the broom handle, squishes the bat. It falls to the ground and he walks away.
He sent a message to you that day.
It's just like, I was already scared. Actually, I think his name was Cochran. I think it was Mr. Cochran. I think it just popped in there and he wore like a blazer, like he was like doing an announce team for golf or something. It was weird. He just walked in, boom, and just walked away. I don't know who cleaned up the bat. It wasn't me, but it was just laying there.
Damn sure wasn't him.
Dead after him. Yeah.
Certainly wasn't him. All right. So the reason that Lonzo put Mariah Carey's hero in my head. I got to finish the story. Phil Brogdon, when I was in elementary school, at the end of every year, we did this big assembly where they did like the year in review video and they would put up there. Every year in that video, which he played for, you know, first through fifth graders. It'd be like a 10-minute video. And a solid 5 minutes of it was just like paying homage to the people who worked there, right? The teachers and the administrators and the janitors and all that, which is fine. But like, you're making us as kids sit through 5 minutes of video of people that we either don't know or actively dislike most of them. And every year, Mariah Carey's Hero was the song that he would play during that 5 minutes. It'd be like, here's 2 minutes of you kids, and here's 5 minutes of us.
So what you're saying, it made such a lasting impression. That's why you quoted that song.
I didn't quote
like
the song.
Like 5 minutes ago. Yes, you did.
I didn't quote the song. I said, there's a hero in the NFL. You said, oh, a hero comes along, in which case then I had to sing it.
I'm pretty sure you said there's a hero.
I said there's a hero. That
but it was your cadence. It was your cadence.
Anyway, point is here. There's a hero in the NFL.
You just did it.
That just saying there's a hero.
No, that's different than what you just did. He said there's a hero.
Turns out there's a guy in the NFL, Big Dom is his name. I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
Sounds like a gangster underling.
His full name, if you want it, is Dominic DeSandro.
Even more sounds like a gangster underling now.
Dom DeSandro, a.k.a. Big Dom. Who is my first favorite Dom ahead of that absolutely filthy, disgusting piece of trash, Dirty Dom Mysterio?
Watch it. He might be listening.
I don't care. I'll tell him.
He's rolling through.
Big Dom is the senior advisor to the general manager, director of game day coaching operations, and chief security officer. Because, of course, he is for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, he is. Oh, didn't he get in trouble before?
Big Dom did get in trouble. It was last year, if I recall correctly.
It was this season, though, wasn't it?
No, I think it was last season. I think. But he got in trouble because there was a bit of a dust up between the Eagles. Yeah, it was 2023. There was a dust up between the Eagles and the 49ers. And Big Dom, in looking out for his boys as the director of security, got up into the face of, and by into the face of, I mean put his hands on San Francisco 49 linebacker Dre Greenlaw. Shoved him over. Got him out of the way. And it's because they were going at it. Now, Dom DeSandro ultimately was reportedly fined $100,000 and barred from the sidelines for the rest of that season. There was only a couple of games left, but was tossed from the game and barred from the sideline. Big Dom has redeemed himself entirely. If you do not follow social media, first off, good for you. But second off, you missed a bit of a controversy because, as I said before, and I'll say again, all due respect to you, James, because I like you. Eagles fans might be the worst fans in American professional sports. They have a certain amount of pride in being complete and total to other fans. It's just the rep you have as a Birds guy. Now, as individuals, they're fine. Like James, my buddy Mark, big Eagles guy. Love him. Can't stand his football fan base at large. So, the Packers played.
No, people, it's not that Mark. We know he jumps teams. But
he's a lifelong Lions guy.
He's been that
lifelong
his entire life.
There was a video from a dude, a bro, a guy, who took his girlfriend, who is a Packers fan, to the Packers-Eagles playoff game in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. Nope, sorry, Philly, you know, where the Eagles are from. Took his girlfriend. And he filmed an interaction he had with an Eagles fan where the Pack got a first down at like the 2-yard line. And this girl, because again, Packers fan, she got up, and she was super pumped. She was jacked up. Why wouldn't you be, right? We're in this game. We're live. We punch it in here. It's a one-score game. We're live, baby. So she gets up and goes crazy. And this guy, this Eagles fan on the other side of her, away from the boyfriend's side, says, shut up, and then throws a litany of vulgar, disgusting language at her. So the boyfriend, as we do in 2025, pulled out his cell phone and put old boy on camera. It was like, yo, what's your problem? And the Eagles fan decides that he needs to explain to this young lady and her boy toy, you didn't score. Shut up. To which he goes, yeah, bro, we're like on the two going in. It's first down. And he goes, don't talk to my girl like that. And the guy goes, she is a stupid, ugly, and he didn't use the B word. He used the C word. He dropped the C word. She is, quote, she is a stupid, ugly, and like it was gross. Like, even, it was gross. Now, Big Dom decided, hey, we're not going to have any of that in here, all right? It's not going to happen. So Big Dom opened up an investigation. Big Dom went and found this guy. They ID'd this guy, and he is officially banned from ever coming back to the link. He is no longer welcome at Eagles games. Persona non grata. Then Big Dom went and sent a personal apology from the Philadelphia Eagles and him, Big Dom, to this young lady. And here's where he sold me. Big Dom went and he bought her a bunch of Packers gear. The Eagles spent money to buy Packers gear to send to this young lady along with a personal apology for the behavior of one fan. Then they outed this dude, straight up doxed old boy. Here's the dude. So, of course, he is getting hounded. His place of employment is likely going to can him. They have already said they are opening up an investigation into his behavior. It is unacceptable, yada, 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 which means that cat's unemployed and can't go to Eagles games anymore. What a world, yeah? So, good on Big Dom. Good on Big Dom. Now, here's the part I want to get to. I am a fan of some good-natured bleep talk at a game. I am a fan of some good old-fashioned smack back and forth.
Since you said that, it suddenly is on my screen, which is so weird without me looking for
it. This isn't weird because the Big Dom story has been a story on social media for like 2 days
running. Yeah, this is the first time it's been on my feed. Anyway, I'm looking at the guy. That's exactly what I expected him to look
like. The fan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just your basic average-ass white dude who's going, like, out of his skull for no reason at all.
It says he has been fired.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. And so we are all clear.
According to TMZ. And, you know, so that means it's real.
Oh, I'm sure. So that we are all clear. This is not getting canceled. This is consequences for your actions. If you act like a, you're going to get treated like a. That's how the life works. That's how the world works. Okay? So, screw this guy. All right? I don't care.
It was a drunken mistake.
I don't care. I don't care. You ruined the experience of this young lady. Over what? Over what? Because you're a gigantic tool. That's why. And that's how. So, screw that guy. Enjoy unemployment. You now can't afford the Eagles season tickets that you can't use even if you could. Bruh. Enjoy, my guy. Listen, people, I am begging you.
Can he sell those tickets, though?
I mean, I have no idea. I don't know if he has season tickets or he bought out. All I know is he can't go in that game.
So if you can't, I'm just.
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. If you have season tickets and you get revoked and banned, can you sell your tickets?
Do they automatically take the tickets away?
But I don't know.
Don't you pay in advance for that?
Yeah.
So,
But I do know that on most tickets on the back, if you turn them over and look at them, there is a printed disclaimer that's like, if you get ejected from the stadium, you ain't getting your money back, bruh. It's ours. So, you know, bleep that guy. Guys, gals, amigos, amigettes, listen. Smack talk's fun. It's fine. It's fair ball. Have a great time. Don't be for no reason. Okay? Don't. Don't be a...
Yeah, but some people are like that in every aspect of their life.
I agree.
So, I mean...
Stop being to each other. All right? You want to talk smack? Hey, Seahawks fan, Seattle smells funny. Got him. All right, have fun. That's fun. I get told New Orleans stinks all the time. And frankly, to be fair, you're not wrong. All right? Have fun. But like, don't be a... There's no reason to be a... Yeah, you're not helping yourself if you're being a... So stop, okay? And for the record, Big Dom, not the hero we deserve, but the hero that we need. Hey, Eagles fans, I don't know what you think you got going on, but it ain't going to happen around here. You understand? Good on Big Dom. Good on the... I'm not going to say this very often. Eagles fans are the absolute worst fans in the NFL, but at least good on the Eagles for making this right. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Don't be a... I am so, so, so sorry for what I am about to do to all of you. I apologize in advance, but I can't not do this. This is one of those things, great one, you understand. This is one of those things that if I had to read and hear these words, so do you. If I had to learn about this story, so do you. That's what this story is. 44-year-old Andrew Disney is his name. Grew up in Hampshire, England. And back in 2007, met a young American lady who convinced him to move down to Texas. Now, he is an American. He is naturalized. He loves America. And of course, loving America means you love the 4th of July, even if you are British. Loving America means loving the 4th of July. And of course, if you love the 4th of July, what's the one thing that we have to have to make it a wonderful 4th of July party? We got to blow some stuff up. It's classic Americana. If there is something to celebrate, we're going to blow something up to celebrate it. Fireworks, a major portion of 4th of July get-togethers. Well, Andrew Disney and his wife, Megan, were invited over to a friend's house out in the Texas countryside. Got 2.5 acres out in the middle of nowhere, and they told Andrew there's going to be a couple of sparklers they were going to light on that Texas night up into the big wide open sky. So Andrew threw on a 4th of July t-shirt and a pair of shorts, and he and the wife and the kid, they headed on over to the 4th of July celebration at their friend's house. They got there, there was food, there was drink, and eventually... they decided to start opening up some fireworks. And again, because it's the 4th of July, what do? You get the little stuff off first, and then you work your way up to the big boys. So, Andrew Disney, as his friend, started to light up the fireworks. Andrew Disney did what so many of us do. Sat down on a chair, popping open a nice cold American lager to toast our forefathers and their quest for freedom and independence. They did some Roman candles, they did some Catherine wheels, and then they started popping off some mortars, the big boys, as it would. Andrew said, as he sat in the chair, he watched his friend light off one mortar. Phew! And then as he looked back down, he recognized that there was only one mortar, but he thought his friend lit two. Turns out he did. The first one went off, and it knocked the second one down, which fell down and pointed directly at Andrew. And Andrew realized this at the exact second that that mortar came launching out of the tube right at him. Or should I say more specifically, right at the boys. Right at the boys. The mortar... at full speed. And if, you know, those things have to go very high in the air and they have to defeat gravity to get there. That means when they come shooting out of that tube, oh, they're moving. And if you've never seen a mortar fireworks, they're just a big round ball of compacted chemicals. Well, great one. This mortar took aim at Andrew's little Andrew and it popped them right in the boys, which is a sound Andrew made, I'm sure, as the mortar knocked him backwards out of the chair, popped up into the air. The fuse went off, and would you like to take a stab at where this thing landed before it exploded? That's correct. It hit Andrew and the boys, knocked him backwards off the chair, popped into the air, lost its fuse, came down, and caught him in the boys a second time. Now, if the story ended here, it would be hilarious. Put that on the internet. Let's all lol at him. It's a firework. It landed on the boys and then exploded on the boys. Somewhere right now, Jason Pierre-Paul is like, you know, the hand's not so bad. The hand's not so bad. Andrew said, the paramedics showed up within a few minutes. They were holding him down. They were giving him some pain medication, some morphine and whatnot. But as they were administering this, he came to the recognition that the shorts he was wearing were on fire and not completely deconstructed. So as literally third-degree burns took place where his shorts were on fire, the paramedics needed to remove the shorts. And so as they went to remove the shorts, of course, they undid the belt or what was left of it. They undid the button, and then they lowered the zipper. You want to guess what happened with the zipper? The zipper caught the boys on the way down. So my man got hit in the stones with a firework, which then knocked him backwards out of a chair for the firework to pop into the air and then come back down and hit him in the boys again and then explode on the boys. And then when the paramedics got there to remove the shorts to treat the boys, they caught the boys in the zipper of his on fire shorts.
He got Ben Stillered. Oh, no.
Franks and beans. He said, lying in the grass, the top of my legs and my lap felt like they were on fire in agony. All I could do was scream, it burns, it burns. I bet it did, Andrew. I bet it did. Because the fireworks had blown off my shorts and underwear, they were able to quickly get to work, but they accidentally... Oh, it wasn't the zipper. It was worse. It was the tourniquet that they were making around his private parts. He said, I heard myself shout... The British slang for that part of the body. I hear it said on TV all the time.
I would prefer you not do it. The fact that you're questioning means you're not sure.
I mean, it's and British slang. I hear it say it on TV all the time.
When you're not sure, then maybe you should not do it.
It's way funnier if I do, though.
Not if I dump it and no one hears it.
I feel like I want you to cut the mic so I can tell you the word is, and then we'll come back on and say if it was appropriate or not.
No. Remember who I work with. I'm probably pretty sure I know the word.
No, you're not. I promise you, you're not. It's not the word you think it is. Anyway, they caught my dudes in the tourniquet they were making for the dudes that got hit by a firework. Hit by a firework again, and then exploded on by a firework. Now, turns out, there is a positive to this story, which is despite the fact that that entire area was covered in third-degree burns, and they had to go in with tweezers and remove little gunpowder pellets that had impacted and implanted in the boys, they were able to do that, and when they got him to the hospital, they told him that he was not going to lose... The boys. Everything is maintained. Everything is fine. And Andrew is happy to report that everything works as it should.
That's a miracle, is what that is. I mean, because I thought he lost his groin.
Yeah.
I thought the groin was gone.
Yeah. Like, this was going to be the first time that I was going to have to actively apologize to Lonzo and go, haha, I know I've been making it a joke for a year and a half, but Andrew done lost his groin. But it turns out that these American heroes, despite the fact that they caught the old Franks and Beans in the tourniquet where they were trying to help my guy out. Turns out they were able to save my man's ability to do the dirty.
James says that's a villain's origin story. It absolutely is.
Yeah. They call him the Ken doll.
No. No.
I can't top that. We should do Twitter now because I got nothing left. Good for Andrew.
I thought his name was the eunuch, but Ken doll works a whole lot better.
Quote, I was definitely worried that things might not function like they had before, but I'm happy to report that everything is working perfectly in the bedroom department. He did say he doesn't think he'll ever be able to enjoy a sparkler again.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, the first thing that's axing is Arthur Smith.
Did he get fired?
No.
Arthur Smith is trying. Oh, he's getting interviewed by somebody.
He is. And also, it is rumored that.
Who is interviewing Arthur Smith?
It is rumored that he preferred Justin Fields over Russell Wilson, and that has caused friction between he and the head coach, who has said there's going to be major changes. So if he doesn't get in, he's probably getting fired.
I will tell you this. I preferred Russell Wilson to Justin Fields. I prefer Justin Fields for the long term, so that we're very clear. My entire thing was not, I don't think Justin Fields can do it. My entire thing was give him time to deprogram the Chicago Bears out of him and let him come back as a brand new man. Let Russ go take the lumps and get you to playoffs, which is what happened. But I will say this about Mike Tomlin. If another guy said, I think we should go with this guy and challenged your viewpoints, and that's the reason you're kicking him off the team, then that is the first time that I will say I'd be done with Mike Tomlin. If you can't have somebody on your coaching staff disagree and push back against you without pushing them out of the franchise, you're not a coach, you're a dictator, and you're never going to be successful.
By the way,
unless you have Tom Brady.
Rumors not substantiated, and there are no exceptions, including Tom Brady. All right, the next thing that's Xing is, and it hurts me to say this, but it was...
Fireworks.
It was there. No. Hashtag Clemson.
Clemson trending, obviously, because they named their new defensive coordinator yesterday. He is Tom Allen, the defensive coordinator who helped take the Penn State University Nittany Lions all the way to the college football playoff semifinals this year. He's also a former head coach at Indiana. Comes down to take over the Clemson defense. Again, I'm kind of excited about that pickup. I think it's a good one.
It's going to be interesting to see if he brings them back to prominence like they used to be. All right.
Yep. Got the talent.
The next thing that is Xing is Trae Young.
Trae Young is trending because he had a season-high 43 points last night for the Atlanta Hawks in a walk-off win. They were missing like three of their five starters, and Trae Young's sick. And despite being sick, he went
sick
out there.
Sick as in, man, dude, that is sick.
No, as in like sick.
Oh, okay.
Like all he right. was actually sick. And went out there and dropped a 43 burger on the head in a dub. Trae Young's a guy, dude. Like he's not a... He's not a by-himself franchise player, but he's you know what he is? He's the guy you pair up with a Giannis Antetokounmpo, and suddenly he's going out there and averaging 40 a game. Like, he can go.
All right. The next thing that's Xing is Daredevil Born Again.
Tell me there's another trailer. Tell me there's another trailer.
It's supposed to happen somewhere between 8 and 10. I didn't see it drop yet, so there's still 7 minutes.
Yay!
So
I'm here for it.
Something to do when we get off the air. And finally, the last thing that is trending is Diet Coke.
Why?
Well, for a couple reasons. One, for the aspartame. But I think from what I can tell, it is the drink of choice for the incoming president. And then there's this guy who's going to supposedly fix all the food problems. And there's going to be some division there because it's Xing, man. I can't. I try to stay away from politics, but
I respect
it's
that.
But it's Diet Coke.
Elon and some of the tech bros are fighting now. Get my popcorn ready. Get your popcorn ready. Hey, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Have a lovely rest of your Wednesday. Come back tomorrow. You know Thursdays are going to be busy. We got Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News to talk Gamecocks. We got Rashad Beard to talk Panthers. We got Mario from the BetQL Network to talk NFL playoffs and Fight Club. All coming up tomorrow on the show. Appreciate you
being
here.
It's going to be all about Corey Graves.
Ooh, drama. You know I like some drama in my pro wrestling. See y'all back here tomorrow. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Hasta luego, muchachos. Later.